Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Howard, Culture, Current Events, Catholic Things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Interesting stuff to talk about this afternoon. We've got Paul Manafort, who was the right-hand guy for the president during his election season, with some interesting connections into Russian businesses. No surprise, because Donald Trump himself has interesting connections into Russian businesses. But were there political favors promised? That's the question. And that's something we've got to hopefully examine. Also, David Dalyden with a 13-15 felony counts. I have to go back and look at that. We'll get into that. We'll talk about that. Of course, exposing Planned Parenthood for selling body parts, which still has not led to its defunding, which we assumed it would. So asking the question, is it worth the effort in this case for him to have done what he did, or could there have been a better use of resources that may not have resulted in 15 felony counts? Or is this just getting press, and that fact it's getting press now worth it all anyway? I give all of this is worth examining. We'll do that. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this. And Leo Brown Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Catholic Things. We talk about that for 50 minutes every afternoon. Well, we got an interesting situation now. Sean Spicer coming out saying that the president could use Russian dressing on a salad and there would be assumptions that he was tied to Russia, which, as it turns out, Russian dressing has nothing to do with Russia, but it was actually a domestic mix of a sandwich bread, not salad at all, from Nashua, I don't know how to say it, New Hampshire. That's where Russian dressing originated. So if you're getting that specific, maybe think about what you got going on. But nonetheless, Spicer seemed to have a little bit of an interplay with April Ryan, who is the correspondent who seemed to ask questions regarding, probe a little bit more deeply into, you're talking about this, you're talking about wiretap, we got this, we got that, we got the Russia thing, whatever. And in this exchange, I think it's kind of unfair. I posted this, just so you know, from NBC News. I don't think he lashed out at her. It wasn't a Trump moment. Trump has lashed out against journalists. Yes, I didn't see that, in all fairness, with Spicer. I saw him say, you don't believe me, stop shaking your head about this, whatever he said. And there's this split screen video where you can see both of them in this exchange. I don't think it's quite as much of an issue as it was trumped up to be in the news. But nonetheless, I think we got something here. Obviously, we've got something here. I said it before the election, and I don't say this because I'm like, look at me, I'm right all the time. Because I'm not. I do stupid stuff all the time, right? I'm wrong a lot. I misjudge things a lot. I don't pay attention to details. I miss things. I'm like, oh, whoa, where did that come from, right? I mean, I'm that guy. So I'm not some sort of uber perceptive, everything, I absorb it all and I see it all and I get, no, I just see the big picture on things. And this is a big picture. I mean, my goodness, right? You got a business guy who is a business guy. First off, that's a problem. And I know, oh, well, he's an outsider, Leo. What are you talking about? That's what Washington needs. And I've been criticized because I've said, no, you know what Washington needs? You know what I want in a leader? I want a guy who's proven himself as a small-town mayor. And because he was so incredibly awesome at that as a young guy, like in his early 30s, he did such a bang-up job, he became a governor. And he was such a great governor that he became a senator. And he was such a great senator that he became a president, right? Wouldn't you want that trajectory? Doesn't that show you this guy's got what it takes? Or he's proven himself in public service to the point that he gets the political game. He gets it. He knows how to do it. Two of our best presidents, I don't care what you say about their politics. Two of our best presidents, I don't care what you say about their personal lives. I disagree with them on a number of things, but when you look at getting things done, who are our two biggest and best in modern history? Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton. Now, again, I'm an independent. I'm going to stand in the middle, and I'm going to praise them both for the things that they did. I know people who hate them both, each, passionately, depending on which side of the political fence you're on. I'm not that guy. I don't stand so tribalistically on a political platform that I say I can't look at these guys and see what good they did. You know why they were good? Because they were career politicians. Yeah, Ronald Reagan was an actor early on, but he spent a lot of time in politics before becoming president. I mean, my goodness, he was, what, 20 years in politics? Am I right on that? I think that's right. Don't hold me to it. Before even approaching the presidency, by doing the governorship and all of the things that led to the governorship, I mean, he was a political guy for a long, long time. Bill Clinton pretty much never did anything but politics before becoming president. And that trajectory of succeeding as a young guy and stepping on and stepping up and moving forward, and he knew how to make it work. He knew how to get things done, even with a Congress that was not his Congress. I mean, look what both Reagan and Clinton did bipartisanly. Look at what they did. Their record shows it. They were two of the best presidents at getting stuff done because it wasn't ego for them. You may say, Leo, no, not in that respect. You could say it was more of an ego for them to get things done than to fight the battle, right? Because they knew who was going to get credit, ultimately. They knew that who was going to get a second term if their voters were happy. They knew it. They knew the game. I don't care. I don't care if you agree again with anything that either of them did. In my opinion, looking at politics, looking at how things are supposed to work, those two guys did it better than anybody I have personally ever seen. I mean, look at what was accomplished. Look at how they worked with their opposition. Look at how they managed their congresses, especially after the Congress turned. Look at how they managed to get a second term of the presidency because of the success that they had, regardless of whether you agree with them. We don't have that right now. We got an outsider, yes. That isn't good. We got a guy who is used to firing people as opposed to working with them. And I get that. It's easier to fire somebody than it is to work with them. Believe me, right? I know what that feels like. I could say, I could try to work with this situation, whatever it is. And I'll work with situations. My goodness, are you kidding me? I'll work with situations all day long. People, I have a real hard time with. And what I mean by that is you have attitudes that are just going to be attitudes. They're going to be who they are, and they're going to be problems, and they may be top performers. But I would rather have a lower performer with a better attitude who makes mistakes, but makes them graciously and does it in a way that we can all work together to build and grow, as opposed to somebody with just a horrific attitude about everything. And just so you know, as an employee, I try to play the game. right? I try to make my place look good. I try to make my bosses look good. I try to give credit where credit is due. I try to be a company person, a team person. And that's what I do. And that's what I expect, right? I expect if you're in my door, you're gonna be playing on my team, because I do that. I do that for people. I've always done that in my career. And so that is an attitude, a business attitude that we expect when somebody's working with us. And we're not used to having competition and competitive thoughts and ideologies that we have to manage. We don't manage that. We say, no, you're fired. You can't fit here. You don't work here. This doesn't work for us. We can't succeed together. This is not going to fly. That is not how politicians work. Politicians say, as I've said before, we've illustrated this. What do you want? Okay, you want that? Great. What do you want? You want that? Okay, great. Here's what I want. Can we find a way to make all three of those work? Let's do that. Can you help me make this work? And I'll help you make that work. I promise you. You help me make this work, and I assure you, we'll get this done. Can we all three get this done? I love what you're talking about over there. Man, I want that for you. I cannot begin to tell you how much I want that. And over here, I know you guys don't agree, but I want both of these, and I'm going to help you get them. Can you help me get this? We don't do that in the business world, right? You don't go to employees and have those kind of conversations. They're irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Who cares what your ideas are? It's my vision. We're going to drive this thing through. Politics, different. Employee relationship, different. It's all about the dynamism and which side and where you are. But if you're coming into this dynamic with the wrong set of parameters, because you've never even known how that works, and how you don't know how that works is still, I don't know, that's another thing. But when you got just look at the two greatest examples in modern history. We've got them. We got them. And not every two-term president was that. Barack Obama was not that. I'm sorry, he was not. He was a partisan guy. Same is true with George W. Bush, a partisan guy. The two examples, we've got them. Go back and research them. And anyone, certainly Trump, is old enough to know those well. It's not ancient history to him. It's not something that happened before his time. He could go back and look at both of those illustrations and say, what made these guys, how did they make it? How did they do it? Because they did it. They got things done. How did they get things done? By being business people? No. By being politicians. Really, really good politicians. Was Barack Obama a great politician? No. Was George W. Bush a great politician? No. I don't see that in them. Were they good presidents in their own right? Yes. They did not have the political skills of a Reagan or a Clinton. Just didn't. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Caught a lot of heat back when this all broke. Jeez, what's it been? A couple of years ago now, I guess, when it all kind of came to light that David Dalyden, who had worked with Lila Rose in the live action, right? That's what they call their platform, exposing these supposed body part purchasers of, or I guess selling, you know what I'm saying. He posed as a body part purchaser in order to get Planned Parenthood facilities to sell him aborted fetuses. And there was a reaction, and I think a backfire personally. Now, I've been criticized because I was critical of the techniques, and still am, and especially in the sense of calling yourself a journalist. That's my main beef. As I've said many times, call yourself an activist and do what activists do. Activists do crazy things intentionally, crazy good things to get attention, and you call yourself an activist, right? That's what it's about. That's what activism is. You get out, you create a spectacle, you show the public what you're all about and what your message is all about, and that's how this works, right? That's how it works. You orchestrate this intentionally. That's the idea. That's good. And you're an activist. And call yourself that. Get the support you need. Make it happen. But don't say that you're in an industry that you're not, or that you're using techniques of that industry, which are not techniques of the industry, right? Please understand that. You are in questionable territory by doing that. At least with me. That's why I'm like, this is questionable. That's why I questioned it. I don't think this is right. Now, by me saying that and me questioning the techniques, and especially the defense of the techniques, which I don't question the techniques regardless, because I don't think activism is that way. I don't think you have to do that. But by me questioning the questions, I'm accused of being pro-abortion, pro-Planned Parenthood, you name it. And I promise you, I'm neither. I'm not pro-abortion. I'm not pro-Planned Parenthood. I'm anti-abortion and anti-Planned Parenthood. I'm also anti-calling yourself something that you're not. Own up to it. So here's how I would have done this if I were delighted. And I know he cut his teeth. I mean, also, please understand, I think it's not that it matters to those who support this. It really doesn't matter, but it matters to me because Breitbart and Lila Rose, this was one, right? This was at one time the whole let's get in and sneak in, let's sneak in and get a story. This was born more of Breitbart. Because if you know, go back and look at what people want to stand, well, 2020 and 60 Minutes. No, they haven't. They haven't done this hidden camera stuff. They may have hidden, the two things you will see there is they may have hidden cameras after which they say, these, you know, they blur faces. You don't, because they didn't get permission. They're not going to expose themselves to legal action and what you're seeing now, 15 felony counts. A big news organization is not going to do that. I'm sorry. If a camera's hidden, identities are protected. Okay, so please realize that. But when they investigate, they go in as journalists and they say, well, so-and-so wasn't available for comment. No, we tried, right? And what does that do? That throws them under the bus, because obviously if you don't want to talk about it, it appears as though you've got something to hide. That's all they have to say. Well, you know what? Planned Parenthood didn't want to talk about exposing body parts when we asked, or didn't want to talk about selling body parts when we asked about the expose. So we'll leave it up to you. Do they have something to hide? We don't know, but they wouldn't talk to us, right? See what that does? That plants the seed of, well, they must be, or else they would come out and defend themselves. That's how journalists do it. There's integrity in that. All you're doing is telling the truth. We didn't, we tried. We asked some very poignant questions that could have been simply answered. We tried numerous times to request interviews with the management. No official statements, no press releases, nothing had been released, and we were denied access. We want you to know this. Now, the evidence that supports our cause would be this, right? See how that works? You present the fact that the other side had a stonewall, but you've collected all this information, and you're releasing it. That's how journalism works. It's a little bit different than activism. Now, if you're an activist, you go and do whatever the heck you want. You infiltrate, become an employee, right? If you want to hide a camera on you, blur faces, protect identity, at least have some respect, right? Yeah, get in there and get what you want. I don't care. Fish it out. Get it out. Do what you want. Get the information. But don't put people on camera who don't know they're on camera, for one, ever, and publicly put that anywhere without protecting their identity. Blur a face, disguise a voice. You can do that. And then, if somebody wants the evidence, they can come to you. And you could say, Planned Parenthood worker from this state, whatever. General and innocuous enough that perhaps it's not going to be defaming to anyone or whatever, or even just unflattering. Unflattering. My goodness, right? I know if I took a picture of my wife without her knowing it, and this happens, or we go to functions and somebody snaps a photo and she's not posing, she's just, Rob, I'm going to untag myself, but nobody's going to see, that's not going to see the light of day, right? So just be respectful. Why don't you just try that? So the felony counts that are out there, it's a lot of legal wrangling that's going to happen. Ultimately, I don't think anything. This guy's got an amazing legal staff of attorneys and everybody in his court, and it's now getting more press and it's coming back around. I don't think we have to worry about DeLight and going to jail. I think he's going to have a fine career as a young man with a lot of support. A lot of support. But at the same time, I don't care where your politics are. I don't care what your position is, what your ideology, what your mission is. Just be respectful in the way you go about doing what you do. Just be respectful. And I know that there are times where we all have to vent with our very close circle of trusted friends. And there are times where we can speak our mind and we could do that privately and we can get things off of our chest. And usually all of us have two or three of those individuals in our lives. I'm blessed to have two or three. I can go to and say, like, man, I just need to get that. Right? But I'm not going to take whatever I'm frustrated about and go and then hide a camera and pretend I'm somebody and try to throw them under the bus. Could do that if I was a very unscrupulous individual. I've been privy to conversations that have blown me away at some of the things I hear people say and even reveal about their own industries. And I've shared this before in a very homogenous fashion, so no one is implicated. I've talked about, I go into businesses, I have been selling media for 12 or 13 years at least, and even before that was with many sales reps in businesses, hearing them talk about what they do, and it's amazing what people will talk about. They'll talk about their unscrupulous practices. It's like, do you know you're talking to a media guy here? Because I could take this story out if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that because they're obviously talking off the record with me. Doesn't matter what kind of platform I have. Maybe they trust. I don't know. I can't imagine that they would. Why would they trust me? They got no reason to trust me. But crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And I have had conversations with people and I said, depending on the dynamic, and I would ask, is this known? Do people know about that? Is there any press on this? And if not, can I mention this publicly? Because that's really interesting to me. I'll ask that question out of respect. And I'm not saying that DeLighten deserves felony charges. But we all deserve to know who the heck we're talking to. And when someone comes in with the pretense of being someone that you think is in your industry, that should be the way it is. And I've been grilled and chastised up one side and down the other. But Leo, it doesn't matter at this. It's all, you know, anything is it's all good because of the dynamics here. That's not what Catholic moral decision making says. No, I'm sorry. That is not what Catholic moral decision making says. If the intent, the object, and the outcome are not all 100% completely moral. It is immoral. It's immoral. I'm sorry. Am I a moral authority? Am I a moral shining beacon of perfection? Of course not. But I at least know what morality is. And I know what it's not. And pretending to be something that you're not to trick people into giving you information, I'm sorry. I don't care what the end result is. It's an immoral path to get there. Please understand that. Please understand that. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this. Back in Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Interesting stuff heating up with the investigation into the Russia connection. Paul Manafort, one of the major players here, who seems to have possibly, according to NBC News, even laundered some money coming from Russia into Cyprus, where these accounts are quickly drained and somehow, somewhere, laundered into tax freeness, right? And lots of companies apparently that are out there that really aren't companies, that are just there as an affront to launder the cash. And this seems to be a popular tourist, financial tourism destination, Cyprus, a Mediterranean island, where apparently Manafort has some accounts, but says it was a banking crisis that made him decide to drain the accounts there in Cyprus. So we've got some really interesting things happening. First off, it's politics, right? Wow. The opportunities for corruption abound, because you're talking about the perfect storm of power and money, right? I mean, it's a perfect storm. It's one thing to have money, but power, wow, now you're getting somewhere. Power and money, that's the utmost intoxicating ever experience, from what I gather. Don't know it personally. Don't care to know it. I don't want that world. But as I understand, this is the high everybody's looking for, right? No drug, no sexual encounter. No, nothing can compare to having all the power and all the money that you could ever hope to have. And having that position, that's the ultimate high, right? According to this world, of course. Those of us who are people of faith know much better. But that's kind of what everyone is striving toward. And that's the temptation, right? That's look at what Satan offered Jesus in the desert, right? This was the temptation. This was the temptation. All the power, all the ability to do whatever in a way that would be obviously that to anyone else, probably the most intoxicating, most amazing, unbelievable, yes, this is what I've been waiting for experience, right? All of this can be mine? Really? And what I have to do? How simple is that? Come on, let's do it. Let's make it happen, right? I mean, come on. So most of us would react. Just bow down and worship you? Okay, well, whatever. It doesn't mean anything anyway, right? That's what we'd think. But there is something about the integrity, the true integrity of saying, no, we're not going to go there. Power is not important. Money is necessary in the sense that there are certain things that we have to do with money. But at the same time, we have to trust that if we're faithful, if we're people of integrity, people of justice, people of mercy, if we live a life that is certainly exemplary in the sense of how we treat others, then we're going to be taken care of. It's what Scripture promises us. Look at the birds. Look at the fields. See what God does for those that are here today and gone tomorrow. How much more? How much more will we be taken care of? That's a beautiful promise. But unfortunately, what happens, and I think it happens in a trajectory with many, is that we get what we want, right? It's not that we don't. We get what we want. And then we realize, well, this isn't enough. Look at St. Peter in the boat, right? Love this story. Heard it told by Bob Lefnesky many years ago this way. And I had never really heard it told this way until Bob told it. Bob, also a.k.a. Righteous B, by the way, Bob Lefnesky. And he's telling the story of Peter having gone down. How many times, right, did he go to work? It was his job. It's what he did. But how many times do we go and do the things that we are going to do, that we do every day, and we think it's going to be the, this is the day. This is the day where I get the big account. This is the day where finally everything goes right and we don't have a breakdown on a machine. This is the day where whatever, right? You name it. What's your industry? This is the day when it all happens. We go into work with this assumption. And he goes to work like he always did. This is the day when I'm going to catch so many fish. My boat's going to sink, right? With at least a mild degree of entertainment of that idea. And certainly a big dream. Right? This is a day I get the call from the guy who wants to buy my company for $50 million. Whatever, right? We've all got these crazy notions. But what happens to him is that it happens. The day comes. But it's not Satan tempting him. It's Jesus showing him what it feels like to be unfulfilled, right? Here's what it, you want to know what real disenchantment feels like? Get what you want. Get what you want. Isn't that crazy? This is where it really, really, in every possible way, feels like nothing. Because you just got what you wanted. Now what do? So Peter could have raised the stakes and realized that this wasn't really what he wanted. But in a very, as Peter, we see the impetuous nature of him, right? I mean, jumping out of the boat, denying Jesus, cutting the guy's ear off, the guard's ear off. I mean, whatever, right? He was so impetuous. But in a moment of, I have to believe, the most lucid sobriety that anyone has ever exhibited in all of Scripture, I love what he says. Is he basically says, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. Because he knew who he was dealing with at that point, right? I love that, when Peter says, you're the Son of God. Where was that revealed to him as it was revealed to him? I think it was that moment. He knew he was not dealing with human stuff. And he knew that there was something so extraordinary about this experience and this individual that all he could do was say, just look, I'm not who you're looking for. I'm really not. Because he knew what happened. He knew what happened. He knew his dream had come true. His prayer was answered. How many times did he have the secret little prayer? Like, Lord, hey, God, come on, man. If you had my back today, I'd sink this ship with the fish I'd catch. Right? How many times did he have that? And what happened? It happened. it happened. The most unfulfilling experience that we could ever have is our dreams actually do come true. And what do we have to hope for then, right? What do we have? Where do we go with that? What from then, where? Lucid sobriety strikes and you go, what the heck? And then there's two ways I think you could go. Either you just keep going for more because it's like, okay, well, this wasn't enough. So now you got to keep digging money, power, money, power, money, power until you are so twisted into bizarre stuff that now you're not even functioning legally anymore. Yeah? I mean, think about it. That's what happens. Or you get this moment of clarity and you say, oh my goodness, this did not have to happen and this was a supernatural blessing, and now I got to figure out how I do this right. I got to figure out how to do it right. And honestly, I mean, believe me, I know that feeling of going, I got nothing to offer. I'm sinful. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I'm damaged. I don't deserve this, and it's probably best we just kind of forget this ever happened, right? I would do that. I can relate with that moment as if I am Peter with my sinking boat of fish going, okay, this just needs to, we don't need to take this any further because I'm not the guy for this. I'm not the one. Know it. Know it painfully well. But that's the difference, right? How do we handle that moment? Because I think many of us are faced with these types of situations. It may not be as monumental as this or as monumental as having the opportunity to do favors for Russian business people that could be politically influenced and perhaps corrupt. It may not be your boat is sinking full of fish, but there are times you're like, this was obviously something I didn't deserve. And this was a God thing. And my goodness, I need to acknowledge that some way, somehow, and do whatever I can with that. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.